So we're going to take a look at Basar V'Chalav on page Kuf Peites. Now, this is really interesting because, as you know, in order to achieve Basar V'Chalav, we need a few things. We need Basar, we need Chalav, and we need Bishul. In the case of chicken eggs, we're not exactly sure what the status of the egg is. The premise is that once the egg is hatched, once it's born into this world, then it's parva. It's no longer part of the chicken. And therefore you can cook it with milk and you have no issue. The issue is before it's what's called a beitza gemura, before it's fully developed. If it's not fully developed, like I'll give you an example. Let's say we would slaughter the chicken and we find eggs inside the chicken that haven't yet been laid. The question is, what's their status? And this is a sugya not here in Chulin, but a sugya in Beitza. But you'll see how it kicks into our sugya in Chulin. In Beitza, it says the following. This is the Tanakam and Rabbi Yaakov. Hashocher es atarnagolis, umotza ba beitzim gmuros. So he shefts the animal, the oaf, and what does he find? Beitzim gmuros. Now wait a minute. If it's beitzim gmuros, then that's not an issue at all. Then it certainly is parva, meaning it's not fleshix, it's not basar. So we're going to soon see that Rashi is going to try to answer this question. What is the Tanakhama telling me about a Beitza Gemura? A Beitza Gemura, that goes without saying. It's upgraded. It certainly is not Basar. So in order to understand the finish of the Tanakhama, we have to fast forward to Rabbi Yaakov, who argues with the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yaakov says, Im hayu me'uros begidin asuros. That until the process of birth, the egg is still surrounded by certain sinews or parts of the body of the tarnagolas. And until you free it, I don't care what level the development of the egg is, it's still considered basar because it's attached to its mother.
Asuros means
that you're not letting it cook it with milk. It has to stand. When you ever see the word asuros, what it means here in our context is basar. Asuros equals basar. So Rashi says, what is the Tanakhama telling me? And what does he mean, Beitzim Gemuros? So Rashi says that there are two parts to the egg that have to be developed in order for it to be a Beitzim Gemuro. One part is called Chelmon, and the other part is called Chelbon. And basically, according to the Tanakhama, this is a very radical shita. We'll see other Rishonim are not going to accept this radical interpretation of the Chachamim. You can consider the Beitza as I'm going to use the word Chalav. I don't mean that literally. Chalav meaning that's not Basar. As soon as you have a Chelmon. Did I say Chelmon? I meant to say Chelmon. Chelmon.
Chelmon.
With a mem.
Which one is that? That's the what? That's the yellow?
Which is which? I always get confused.
That's why I'm asking.
Chalbon is, get the word chalav. I mean, I would think that's the white part.
We'll take a break and we'll look it up. But let me just let's get it conceptually. This is what you call the Heliga Kurkavan. You remember that story? They asked the Roman Shiloh if it's Trey for Nice. As well, if it's the Heliga Kurkavan, he never saw Kurkavan in his life. So anyway. So what do we have here? According to Rashi, in the Chachamim, all you need is the Chelmon. Now, I'm going to prove to you that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept this pshat, because if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, which you'll see at the opening line in your page here, He says, Beitzim shenimtzayim be'ofos, imhem gemuros, dainu sheyesh lahem chelbon v'chelmon. So underline the word chelbon. In other words, it's not enough that you have the chelmon, you also need the chelbon. And what is, so then, of course, the Shulchan Aruch has to ask himself, so what is the chiddush of the Chachamim here, and where is the plugta between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim? The answer is, has to do with Me'ura Begidin. So you could have, there's a stage, a very, subtle kind of stage, where although the Beitza is a Beitza Gemura, So if you crack the egg open, what you're going to see is both, not only the chelmon, but you'll see also the chelbon. But nevertheless, the Rabbi Yaakov thinks it's not cholov, it's still basar. Why? Because it's ma'ura begidin. You know, it still hasn't, the channel, the birth channel is not yet open up. You know,
before the shell is on or after?
We have to know about the shells as well, but I'm going to leave that out because I just want to get to a conceptual breakthrough here that's relevant to basar b'cholov. So Rashi says that, no, the Tanakhama went very far. And the Tanakhama says that even if you only have Chelmon, that's enough to make it into a Beitza Gemura, and it's Yotze Mechal Basar, even though it's still Ma'ura Begidin. Okay, fine. Obviously it's Ma'ura Begidin. You don't even have a Chelmon. The Shulchan Aruch is going to say that even if you have a Chelmon, it's still Ma'ura Begidin, and it's still Basar.
But the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like a contradiction, because he's calling it Gemurot with Chelbon and Chelmon, Afalpi Shehimu Rabbegidin.
Right. In other words, he's telling you it's Gemurot, and therefore forget about the fact that the hatching or laying process is not yet ready. It's still encompassed, or it's being held back and inhibited by the Gidin of the Tarnagolas. But the Beitz itself is Gemurah, and why is the Beitz itself Gemurah? Because it has not only Chelbon, but it also has Chelbon. Okay,
so then we should only be talking about Mu'urah Begidin. That's the point.
No, the Chiddush is that even though it's Mu'urah Begidin, and you would say therefore it's still part of the animal, right? It's being held by the oaf, by the mother bird. No, it's already Yotze Mechal Basar because it's a Beitza Gemura. Maybe it'll become clear after we see the Rashba. You want to take a look at the Rashba?
Sure.
The Rashba says, and this is going to be more reflective of what we saw in the Tanakhama, because we're assuming that in the Shulchan Aruch, because we're assuming the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Tanakhama. So the Rashba in Torah Sabayis, it's on the next page, I think, right? Kuf Tzadi. Oh, tell me you don't have Kuf Tzadi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. You have Kuf Tzadi. So the Rashba says that even the Tanakhama says that you need Chelmon and Chelbon. This is in contradistinction to Rashi. Rashi says that the Tanakhama holds that all you need is one of the two. In this case, you need Chelmon, and the Chelmon itself makes the Beitza into a Beitza Gemura. Comes along the Rashba and says even the Tanakhama requires not only Chelmon but also Chelbon to make it into a Beitza Gemura. The only machlokas here, where does he drop the requirement of Rabbi Yaakov? That's as far as Ma'ura Begidin is concerned. So even though it's Ma'ura Begidin, it's already considered a Beitza Gemura because it has not only Chelmon but also Chelbon. And it seems that Tosus and Beitza also accepts that approach of the Rashba. And fine, okay. Then he gets into the question of the outer klipa and the shvoferes. We'll leave that out. Okay. So now the Shulchan Aruch reflects the sheet of the Rashba that the Chachamim will only allow you to cook this egg, this chicken egg, with chalav if you have both chelmon and chelbon. And the Chiddush and the Kula here is you don't have to be concerned with the fact that it's Ma'ura Begidin. The Ramah, in a different context, this is 10 simonim back, those are the laws of Malicha. Now keep in mind that if you have something called Basar, then it requires Malicha, meaning you have to get rid of the Dam, because the Dam of the Basar is Asar. What's the deal with Beitzim after you shech the animal? If you're going to consider it as Cholav, then of course it doesn't require Malicha. If you're going to consider it as basar, then it might require malicha. Well, again, we'll have to see about that. So the Ramah paskins the following: Beitzim shenimtzayim beofos liachashchita imlo nigmar chelbon shelahem raka chelmon levad. Meaning, let's assume for the time being that the Shulchan Aruch is paskin like the Rashba. And the Rambam agrees with that psak that we, in order for it to be a Beitza Gemura and Yotze Mechal Basar, we need not only Chelmon, but we also need the Chelbon. In a case where you have the Chelmon without the Chelbon, then it's Basar. And if it's Basar, we have to remove the Dam. Is a Tzricha Malicha, Geshar Basar. You can do the melicha together with other basar because there's no problem, basar and basar. However, if not only is the chelmon complete, but also the chelbon is complete, then what? Then it's not basar, right? Ha! I'm going to play a joke on you. You're not going to take me seriously. He says it still needs melicha. Nagim lemolcha. Now again, Rabosai, the premise of our shiur today is that a minog is a minog. It's not just, you know, out of nowhere. And this minog seems to be predicated on a contradiction in terms. He says the following: Tzarech iyun. This is Rav Soloveitchik is asking, how do we understand this minog lechumra? He says, Immutal Levashal Beitzin Becholov, the same Ramah in Simon Peites, right? I'm sorry, Peizayin, is committed to the position that once you have not only the Chelmon, but also what? The Chelbon, at that point you can cook it together with milk. With milk. Well, what does that prove to you? Is it Basar?
No.
I mean, Shtel Zafar, you're going to allow me to cook meat with milk? Chas v'shalom, right?
Right.
So it means that once you have both the chelmon and the chelbon, it's yotzei mechal basar. You're cooking it with milk. Now, if it's yotzei mechal basar, then how can you tell me that there's a minig lemolchan kedin basar that you're going to allow melicha? Hare rak bedam basar. Do we have an isa dam and therefore a requirement of melicha? But dam in other machalim, if it's not basar, then there's no din of dam. So what is this minhag based on that we should require melicha on a beitza gemura? What do I mean by a beitza gemura? It's not only nigmar ha-chelmon, but even nigmar ha-chelmon.
That's considered gemur.
Correct, because everybody agrees, and the Rashba as well, in the Shitas Tanakam and Beitza, that once you have not only the chelmon, but also the chelbon, it's Beitza Gemura, you can cook it with milk. Now, if you cook it with milk, how can you tell me it's a minog to do melicha? So you and I would say, okay, it's not catastrophic, there's such a minog as a minog. You know, the Gemara tells us that Mar Ukva's father would wait between meat and milk for 24 hours. So, okay, a minhag. So you had a minhag like that. You know, everybody takes upon themselves their own chumras.
Yeah, Mikha is not a minhag. I mean, dam is not a minhag.
No, but the minhag to take an egg that's already past chelbon and require melicha, that can only be a minhag. But again, the minhag has to have some sort of a structure, of a framework. It has to be upheld on a logical basis.
It wasn't so obvious when they're complete.
That could be. But the Rav Soloveitchik has another approach. It's really interesting. Because we have to always be sensitive in Basar B'Cholov to the difference between Basar and Oaf, meaning Basar Behema and Basar Oaf. Because we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef Glili, that Basar Oaf is only Dirabbanan. And again, we could always ask, how far did the Rabbanan go? So he says the following. Let's open up to a very unique Mishnah in Masechet Evios. What I mean by unique is that all the Mishnahs in Evios, almost, with a few exceptions, record Beis Hillel's Kula and Beis Shammai's Chumra. But here we have Pungfaker. We have just the reverse. The question is the following. He has an animal that's nevela. Let's say it died without shechita. And he finds an egg inside the animal. And what's the status of this egg? Does it have the status of nevela? Right? Because he found it inside the animal, the carcass, the nevela. Or do we say, no, it's a separate entity unto itself, and it's not nevela? So the shita Beit Shammai is that if it's sold in the shuk, meaning that you can sell it as an egg, and that's how it's sold in the marketplace, then it's a separate entity. It's not part of the of the animal that died without shechita, and it's not nevela. And paradoxically, it's Beis Hillel who are machmir here, and they claim that, you know what, he found it inside a nevela. It has the same status as a nevela. You're not allowed to eat the beitza that you found after the shechita. I'm sorry, after the animal died inside the nevela. He says that according to Beis Hillel, what happens after you shecht an animal and you take out its egg, mm-hmm. and you want to cook it with milk? Mm-hmm. You just finished telling me that that egg has the status of nevela. It's asur midin nevela. Why? Because where did it develop? Where was it germinated? Yeah. Inside a nevela. So it has the status as a nevela.
It's like a yotim and a tame.
Right, but it must be that they still are assuming that it's part of the animal itself. Do you follow what I mean? It's not a separate entity. Right. If it was a separate entity, it would not have the status of a nevela. But if you're telling me it has the status of a nevela, it must be that it's basar. And this doesn't make any sense, because we are allowed to take this egg, and I'm sorry, in the case of a shechuta, what I meant to say is we're allowed to take the egg and cook it with milk. And why are we cooking it with milk? Because it's not basar. No, Rabosa, I don't get it. If it's not basar, then why does it have the status of an nevela? In the Rav's language, he says maishna Dilagabi Isa Nevela Dainin Le Lebeitza Gemura Kibasar. Right, we said that with regard to the Isa Nevela, you have an egg, and again, it's completely developed. It's sold as is in the Shuk, and they still say no, it still has the status of what? Of a Nevela. However, as far as Basar B'chol is concerned, and the Rambam is committed to this position as well, we're going to say that once the Beitz is Gemura, then it's no longer Basar. And you can cook it with milk. You have the Kasha? Again, what's the status of a Beitz Gemura? We've already established that a Beitz Gemura is not Basar. Hence, you're allowed to cook it with milk. Now we're saying that a beitza, even if it's gemura, has the status of basar, and therefore it's nevela.
There's a difference between the status of something which is kosher or not kosher, as opposed to something which is basar or chalav.
I don't follow. Again, when you say kosher or not kosher, you're talking about basar or chalav, or you're talking about nevela?
I'm talking about nevela.
Well, again, if it's not part of the nevela, if it's basar, it means you're telling me it's part of the behemoth that died, right? Yeah. If it's part of the behemoth that died, and if it's nevela, how can you take its meat, in a case of a shchuta, and cook it with milk? I mean, you're telling me that even though it's a beitza, and even if it's a beitza gemura, it's still called nevela. Meaning you've given it the status of the mother animal, if you follow it.
Yeah,
and it's nevela.
We're talking about
no, it doesn't.
The mother in this case is a chicken.
Oh, that's what Tosus answers. Tosus says, "Lo hitiru lechol beitza shkuta bechola ela mishum de basar of bechola veino aser ela midrabanan." I will beitzas nevela hichmiru hoil v'nevela asur me'atorah. In other words, although technically you may be right that the beitza, since the beitza gemura is a separate entity, but we have to be machmir in the case of a doraisa, and therefore, if we find a beitza inside a nevela, and the eastern nevela clearly is doraisa, we have to be worried about the beitza. Maybe it's not, or maybe tomorrow he'll apply the same yardstick in a beitza that's not gemura, which is really nevela doraisa. But in the case of the oaf, in the worst case scenario, even if he makes this mistake and he doesn't realize that the beitza is a beitza gemura, it's only going to be a drabbanan anyway. Because what's he doing? He's cooking the beitza with milk.
But if it's
I meant to say shchuta. If I didn't say the word shchuta, I apologize. Sometimes I forget to repeat that word.
So if the chicken was in the vela, they did a shchita and they did a yah.
So in that case, we're not going to allow you to.
It's the egg.
Oh, you're asking me in hoil. I mean, you want to say hoil? I don't know. Let me just think about that. I hear what you're saying. That since we considered
any egg that's already comes out is kosher.
That's right.
So you're talking about an egg that's inside,
right.
Inside a non-shluta.
Right.
Inside,
so you want to say that since there are more paskins, that it has the status of what? Of an avela. Therefore, it's called basar. We're not allowed to cook it. Well, you know what? I think this happens to be a technical foul here, because I think if you cook the avela with cholov, you don't violate any isin. But that's just a technicality. But if you ask me in a pure conceptual world, would he be allowed to cook this egg with food?
It's in the nevela too.
You have to know about any sechalisa. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not holding in all the sugyas, but let's assume that we can solve that technical problem that you're asking. Maybe once we consider it nevela, then we should consider it basar as far as cooking it with milk. Could be this halach of hoel, but again, if you leave out this halach of hoel, you know that we can't get involved in a tarti disaster. Just in terms of the pure halacha, he's saying that to cook this egg with milk. Where did you find the egg? If you found it in an oaf, and that's our discussion here, is tarnagolus shematzba beitza. So then that beitza, even in the worst case scenario, even if you were to classify it as basa, it would only be derabbanan if you cook it with milk, because we pass in that basa of becholov is only derabbanan. So therefore, we can be makil. We don't have to institute further harchakas and gzeros when the worst case scenario is a derabbanan. Now, does this touch on all the discussions we had about halah, you know, in terms of oaf, and we spoke about not eating gvina after oaf? Do we consider oaf as a chefetz of basa b'chalav? And you know, whether we would require shishim keneged the whole bird and so forth and so on. I mean, that could be that this is relevant. I don't know. But leaving all that aside, what we're saying is that to prohibit this egg and call it basar when it comes from an oaf, that doesn't make any sense. It's a beitza gemura, it doesn't have the status of oaf, and to tell me that you can't cook it with oaf, that makes no sense. But in the case of nevela, now we want to know the status of the egg, whether the egg is nevela or not, that's already dough rice.
And if it was a ben fakura?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Is that parallel to it?
Listen, Yosef, do me a favor. This is the fifth shiur I'm giving today. And I haven't had anything to drink. So if you want to offer me a tea and then ask you a question about Ben Pekua, you might be over Lifnei. You might be over Lifnei Iver, you know what I'm saying? My mouth is a little bit on the dry side. I'm going on about 2.5 hours of sleep. But I'm not asking for any rachmanis here, but just laws up it with Ben Pekua. I came in, my brain is chopped liver now. And I'm not even sure it might be liver from an oaf, so I don't know. Alright. I want to talk to you a little bit about Bishul Bechami Tveria. And then this piece over here, maybe we'll finish tomorrow. The next part of the piece is very lumpish. Bishul Bechami Tveria, the Shulchan Aruch says that there's no malchus if you cook meat and milk in Chamei Tveria. So on your next trip to Tveria, keep this in mind. So the Rav is not happy with this. He says that Chamei Tveria, which is a sugya in Psachim, is based on what's called Toldas Ha'ar versus Toldas Ha'esh. Right, there are two types of heating processes with regard to water. You can heat up water over a fire, and that's a Malacha D'Oraisa of Bishul. Or you can heat up water over Toldas Ha'ar, which means that the sun, you know, the sun beats down what we call solar energy. He says the following, that if you assume, again, that's Machlokas in the Gemara, that Chamei Tveria, you know, there's one day in the Gemara that says Chamei Tveria is Toldas Ha'esh, you know, because there's a fire going on down in Gehenna. But if you don't accept that shita, then the spring, the waters here are heated up by the sun. That's solar heat. And solar heat is not considered bishul. Rav Soloveitchik says that that's halacha in Hilchas Shabbos. That in Hilchas Shabbos, for Melechas Bishul, you require Toldas HaEsh. Anything but is not considered bishul. Why should that have any impact on basar b'chalav? In basar b'chalav, we don't find any reason to assume that only told us ha'esh is considered bishul. And he quotes Rashi to prove this. Rashi in Masechta Shabbos says that hamavashel b'chama. Okay, so he takes an egg and he puts it in the sun. He's potem neisha ein zed derech bishul b'kach. Ubipshuto, he's saying it would seem that that svara makes sense with regard to Shabbos. With regard to Shabbos, we need what's called a melechas machshavas, meaning the melech has to be done in a very precise kind of a way. For example, one of the sugyas of melechas machshavas is ma'amer. So the Gemara says in Ma'amer, he has to do it in a way that is done professionally. You know, he has to bind it or stack it. You know, he just takes a bunch of onions and he throws them into a pile. The Gemara says that's not considered Meleches Machshevas. Mm-hmm. You need a certain, Rashi says, you need a certain umdus. It's almost like a precise, very sensitive kind of professional way of doing so. And therefore, in the case of Chami Tveria, that's not the way you go about doing bishul, but in the case or chami or bichlal bevashel bechama, you know, you have an egg and you want to cook the egg. So what do? You put it in the hot sun. You put it on a hot tin roof, right? That's not called derech bishul. It's not meleches machsheves. But as far as basar b'chalav is concerned, why should we require meleches machsheves? Lo shayach ba'inyan zeh. He says, even though it's a little bit of a kelachar yad, it's a little bit of an unusual bishul when you use the sunlight, solar energy, but nevertheless, if it accomplishes the goal, and we mentioned this over and over again, that basar b'chalav means giving the tam from one into the other. So he says the following, that if you look carefully at the sugya of Chami Tveria in Masechta Pesachim, the Gemara uses the terminology of Ubashel mevushel b'mayim, that we need bishel b'mayim. It doesn't seem like the Gemara is activating the principle of meleches machsheves to exclude and to exonerate you in the case where you did a bishel b'chama. It says bashel mevushel b'mayim. It means we're defining bishel. We're not talking about whether you did bishel the normal way, the way a professional chef would do bishul, or some sort of a cheapo way, you know, we use the solar energy. No, what we're talking about is maisa bishul. I would have said it a drop differently. I would have called it a tsuras bishul. We need a tsuras bishul. And with regard to basar b'chalav, we need a tsuras bishul. And bishul b'chami tveri is not a tsuras bishul. It's considered kelachar yad. It's like an unusual bishul as far as the maisa bishul is concerned. And now we can add this piece to what we discussed about Kimaichel ben Josoi. Let's just go over what we said about Kimaichel ben Josoi. In the case of Shabbos, the Rambam Shita is, I think it was Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam Shita was that if he takes it from Kimaichel ben Josoi up to Vavushal called Tsarko, then he's chai from Meleches Bishul. However, in Basar B'chalav, the Rav proves that you wouldn't be chayiv in such a case. Why? Because there are two different definitions operating here. With regard to Shabbos, as long as you have a Meleches Machshavos, that's enough. But with regard to Bishul Basar B'chalav, we need whatever the Torah according to Torah law qualifies and constitutes Bishul. If it's already Mavushal, something that's already Mavushal, you can't do a Bishul on something that's Mavushal. Once it reaches Kimaichel ben Josoi, it's already what? It's already Mavushal. Did we see that here? No, that we saw in the Hari Kedem, right?
Yeah.
But I think we saw it here also, no? Just give me a second. I think I gave it out to you. Do you have archives? John, you're my archive man. Are you going to Mincha already? No. We still have a few minutes. Okay, I don't find it now. Just give me 1 minute. Uh, Where was Ein Bos Ein Bishalach Ad Bishul? I think I gave it out. No. Oh, here it is. Bishalach Ad Bishul. It page Kuf Pei Aleph. If you keep the pages. Oh, he says the following. He says that the Rambam is of the opinion that Ein Bishalach Ad Bishul is a Tnai Meleches Machsheves, which means Tikkun. He says you need a Tikkun Al Yidei Bishul. So the Rambam is going to tell us that if it's already Kvar Tikkun Es Hamach Lagami in the first Bishul, already fixed up the food, or it's perfectly edible, it's not something that only the Rav is elite on the run, is Ein Chshuv Ein Chayev Al Bishulo. But in the case of Basa B'cholof, he might be chayev, even in the case of a vushel called sarka. Oh, that's the point. Okay, I'm glad I looked at this. So you have something that's completely cooked, and you cook it a second time, you might be chayev in Basa B'cholof. Again, you have to go through all the Marim and Komos here, but you might be chayev. In that exact case, the Rambam says you're potter. Why? Because the Rambam holds it in Shabbos, what defines bishul? Meleches Machsheves, and now it was already cooked on the first round. Again, I'm talking about called Tzarko, and therefore you're not chayv for a second Bishul. That has no impact on Bas B'chol, because in Bas B'chol there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves. You just need a Bishul. And that you have. And now we go back to Chami Tveria. What's the deal with Chami Tveria? Is it a Chisar and Meleches Machsheves? In which case it has no implication as far as Basa B'cholof is concerned, or no. We're saying, we're giving you basic definitions of what constitutes Bishul. And if you're medayik in the Lashon of the Shas, U'boshel mevushel b'mayim, that unless you put it into hot water, that's not called Bishul. And therefore, Bishul b'chamei tveri is not considered Bishul at all. It's not just a problem of Shalok Kedarko or a problem of Meleches Machsheves, but we're saying it's not called Bishul. And if it's not called Bishul in Yin Shabbos, then it's not called Bishul as far as Basa B'cholof is concerned. So Chamei Tveria, or anything that fits that category of Bishul Al Yidei Ha'ar, as opposed to Bishul Al Yidei Ha'esh, that would be potter in if it's a ptur in the bishul, right? Because it's not bishul yidei ha'esh, then it's potter even in basa b'chol.
So he would say dud shemesh is mutter on Shabbos.
He would say that.
Meaning what? That it's not.
That you can use shemesh is not
because it's solar energy.
And it runs through the Togo Tower, and it's not Bishul.
Well, the problem is that
exactly.
The problem is that the water is not heated up by the sun. What happens is in the Dud Shemesh, as far as I know, you'll Google it and tell me if I'm wrong, is that the sun heats up the pipes, the metal pipes, and the pipes heat up the water.
That's not bad. It's not Ash either.
So that's already called Toldas Ha'ar. And Toldas Ha'ar is also in Rabbanan, as Gzeir Mishum Toldas Ha'esh. See, on a derisa level, you chayev for both Esh and Toldas Ha'esh. So let's say, for example, if you would heat up a pot, just simply the pot, there's nothing in the pot, you could cook in the pot and you could be chayev for what's called Toldas Ha'esh, and that would be chayev achatos. That's a derisa. The Rabbanan jumped from Toldas Ha'esh, which is Doraisa, to Toldas Ha'ar, which is only Durabana. But I'm just mentioning this in terms of Dud Shemesh. So I'm not saying you can't use your Dud Shemesh. You have to find a way of, you know, of allowing yourself to use a Dud Shemesh. But it's not so simple.
Not that simple.
But let's say you cooked Basa B'cholof in the sun, which is feasible.
Yeah.
Or in the case of Chami Tveri, if old Chami Tveri is R, is Mamish, is Bishul Ba'ar, if that be the case, would you be Chayev? And it's unbelievable that in this case you're not Chayev, because the Shulchan Aruch says, here in Pei Zayin, Sif Vav, Hama'ushan, we'll talk about Ma'ushan separately, Hama'ushan B'chami Tveri, ain't Lokanol. That means on the Derisa level, that's not called Bishul. Why not? You tell me, because it's not Meleches Machsheves, it's not the exact way that the professionals do it. Name. The Gemara says it's not called Bishul. That's not Bishul. I'll give you a mashal of Antov Adoma. It's similar to Klisheni. Were you here when we discussed Klisheni? That Klisheni is not a Tzuris Bishul. You don't take something and cook it in a second pot. So that's also Ptur in Basa Bechol of Klisheni, right? We saw it here in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the whole reason for the Gzeres HaLoh is because of Ilfas B'Kli Rishon. Don't reduce it just to the problem of Moleches Machsheves, that as far as the standard, the very high standard of Moleches Machsheves of a professional kind of Malacha, here it's Kalachar Yad, it falls very shy of Moleches Machsheves, of a Malacha Chashuva. Ella, but rather here on page Kuf Tzadi Gimel, Mishum de Bishul Shalom Kedak Lochosh Kemaisev Bishul Klal. You could have something that's not professional, and on Shabbos you'd be potter because of the Chisaron of Moleches Machsheves. You could have something that's not considered a Maisev Bishul at all because it's so far removed from the original, you know, paradigmic Maisev Bishul. The Derech Bishul Tanai Beikra Doris Maisev Bishul B'Chol Tarkula. Chol Tarkuli means even as far as Basa B'Cholav, as far as Korban Pesach is concerned. V'Nicha, now we understand why you don't get Malkus with Bishul B'Basa B'Cholav B'Chamei Tveria, because that's a Bishul that's so much Shalom Kedarka. It's not just a Chisaron in the fine kind, you know, the fine Shmecker kind of Malacha or Umnis of Shabbos of Malachas Machsheves, but it's not called Bishul. And therefore, of Lav Shmei Bishul Hu, Klal Uklal B'Chol Tarkula, and therefore you're not chayv b'basa b'cholav for Kamei Tveria. Really, so next time you're up in Tveria, cook your meat and milk together.
The definition is the Maisa and not the goal.
The goal, correct. In Shabbos, you have to achieve that goal in a very specific way. B'basa b'cholav, we don't have to be so specific, but so it's got to be Bishul.
So the Tom is not the portion
of us. Right.
I could have, theoretically, a cheeseburger and a cliche.
Right, exactly. That's that was the shit that you missed, Bliss.
No, I heard that.
Are you there for cliche? Oh, okay. So that's what we have on Kuf Tzadi Beis, going on to Kuf Tzadi Gimel. Now, do you have Kuf Tzadi Dal?
Something to create.
You don't have Kuf Tzadi Dal?
No, don't have Gimel either.
Using a cliche
name. So how many minutes do we have? We have about 6 minutes left. Let me give you an introduction to Kuf Tzadi Dal. Yeah? Okay. This is really interesting. Has a lot to do with dishwashers and stuff. So let's say I wash my dishes that were milchik, and then I have the water that absorbed the tam of the milchiks. Now I have another dishwasher which I use for fleishiks. And that water now has absorbed the time of the flesh. So the question is, can I mix these two waters together and use them, I don't know, to irrigate my field or to feed my animal that's thirsty? You know, my animal doesn't care so much about Basa B'Cholav, right? But the question is an Isra Anah in Basa B'Cholav? So the Ramah here in this very same Sif that we're studying today, Paskins, Ein la'arbev mayim shehidichu bem klei basar, in mayim shehidichu bem klei cholav, v'litein es amayim lifnei behema, mishum davi yisure hanah. And the Shach says, I don't understand what the man is talking about. He says, only if you use such hot water, and let's say you had a be'en of cholav, and now the taste of the cholav through mayim roschim, he says, goes into the water, and the water is still boiling hot. So now he mixes boiling hot water. Let's say the water from the milchiks, I forget which what I said before, but anyway, from the other gender, is also boiling hot. So now you have hot water that has a taste of cholav, hot water that has a taste of basar, and you mix them together while they're boiling hot. He says, "Halav hachi enu aser manah." Why? Because the Torah only asked it anah if you violated the Isur Bishul, or you don't have to violate the Isur Bishul, but the Bishul was accomplished.
Why isn't that Bishul?
It's time.
It is Bishul if both are roasted, but the Ramah doesn't make any requirements, any qualifications. He says, "Ein la arbev mayim shidichu bem klei basar." Is he talking about boiling hot water in both cases and he's mixing them together?
Why shouldn't it be the same thing we said when you're chewing your food and it's lach polach, and lach polach is no same time, so that it doesn't matter whether it's boiling or not. It's not boiling in your mouth either, but we said that we're talking about chewing food that wasn't cooked together, that it causes a problem of it creates a chetz of isa or basakal. Why should it be the same?
Maybe you're right. Maybe this is a tarovus of lach balach. The only thing is in a tarovus of lach balach, we have a principle called not bar not, which I didn't want to get into today because it's not really relevant to this discussion. What it means is that if you introduce, let's say the classical case is what's called dogim shalom makari. Remember this? So you have cholov in the dogim, and then you cook the dogim with something that has a tam of basar in it.
But not basar itself.
Right. So that's called not bar not. So here, if the Ramah is saying that everything is cold, so there's no actual cooking, then it certainly would be a case of not bar not. So why does the Ramah prohibit it? Now listen to this.
I'm not clear of the case.
Yeah.
Even if you have hot water that was baleya,
John, do me a favor, open the door if you don't mind, because I don't want to miss mincha today.
Water that was baleya milchings and hot water that was baleya flechings. What's the problem putting it together?
I don't know. The shach says that that's a problem.
It's only baleya.
The Rabbah seems to assume it's a problem, even if it's all zoning.
Not by.
I don't know.
It's mutter.
But listen to this, Rabbi. We have two more minutes. I just want to add one last point here so that we can start the shiur tomorrow. He's saying that according to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, listen to the following case. You have, I'll just get the case straight. You have a case where you have a how do you say in English kankan pitcher. Okay, good. You have a pitcher, and the pitcher has a taste of basa b'cholof in it, and you want to use the pitcher to pour something that's not basa b'cholof onto ground or to feed your animal. Is that also considered anor from basa b'cholof? So he says that the Gemara tells us in Masechet Avodah Zarah that you have a kli cheres, and what happened was the Akum used this kli cheres, which is very porous, for his yayin. So the yayin was now absorbed into the kli, and now you want to use the kli for some other purpose, like lismoch venis akara. He wants to use it as a footstool.
Yeah.
And the Gemara establishes that he's not allowed to do so because he's having anor. Well, what do you mean he's having anor? He's having anor from the kli cheres. He's not having anor from the yayin that's absorbed into the kli cheres.
It becomes a chefta v'yanisa.
So this is called, in the language of the Shas, rotze v'kiyumo al yidei dover acher. So we're going to try to figure out what the isur anor is in such a case. All right, are they davening mincha ready?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes. So we have to join them for the mincha because today it's a special mincha.